that would affect the entire world. And that purpose was, it's very easy for us to justify what we do. It's very easy for us to say, well, I didn't do anything wrong, or my motives were pure, or whatever. And God gave the law to a group of people who were like that. Continuing on in Exodus 19, you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. Notice again, it's very specifically to the Jewish people, very specific promises to them if they keep the law. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. Then all the people responded together. And I want you to really listen to this. We will do everything the Lord has said. So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. You've got a group of people who've come up out of Egypt. They complained at the Red Sea. They complained at Marah. They complained about no food. God sent them manna. They've complained and argued and struggled with everything God has told them to do all the way until they get to Mount Sinai. And then God says, if you will do fully everything I tell you to do, you will be my people and I will honor you and bless you. And they say, everything the Lord has said, we will do, and we will be obedient. Color them clueless. I mean, are they going to do that? Have they ever done that? No. What they needed was something that was so definite and in writing that there were no excuses when they disobeyed. So God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. One of those Ten Commandments is this: you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. Don't make idols. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. They broke it before it was delivered. Now, if you've done much witnessing at all, you know that when you talk to somebody about the need for a relationship to the Lord, getting them lost is usually harder than getting them saved once they realize they're lost. When someone comes to the conclusion, I have sinned against God, I deserve punishment, I know I deserve punishment, and then here's the message that Jesus took their punishment on the cross, they're usually ready to accept it. But the sticking point in bringing people to God is usually, well, have I really sinned that much? I'm better than my neighbors. I try hard. I have good motives. And all of these excuses come pouring out. What God did with the Jewish people, and he did it with them for an example for all of us, was to give them the law. Okay, you think that you're good. You think that you deserve my blessing and my favor. I'm going to give you a set of rules. Let's see how you do with the rules. They broke them before they were delivered. I said this and got chastised for it a couple times, but the truth is, the only thing I've ever really deserved is to go to hell. I am a sinner. We're all sinners. And the law was meant to make that very plain. So for how long was the law given as a route for people to believe keeping the law would bring them into a relationship with God? It was given to the Jewish people. There were people in Mongolia who didn't know the law. There were people in North America who had no idea what the law was. It was given to a specific people for a specific time until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law had a shelf life. It was given for a specific purpose, for a specific time. What was that time? The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. That's John the Baptist. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom is being preached, and everyone is forcing their way into it. A more literal translation is simply, the law and the prophets were until John. When John came, he started talking about God and his grace and his love and coming to God knowing that we were sinners and finding forgiveness. I spent a long time teaching through the book of Hebrews in Sunday school. And I could give you a lot of verses, but I'm just going to give you a couple. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, and indeed the law was given to the people that was given to the people established that priesthood, why was there still needed for a need for another priest to come, one in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, the law must be changed also. So what do you have? You had a system given by God, a set of rules. Don't break these rules. Priests who could offer sacrifices as a covering for the sins committed by the people, offered at the tabernacle, then offered at the temple. When Jesus came, we had a change in priesthood. Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. The Old Testament priesthood is gone. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn in two, symbolizing access to God, and then God allowed the temple to be destroyed. The old system is done. We are under a new covenant. We have a new high priest. We are kings and priests unto God. And by the way, God told them if they obeyed him, they would all be. And when they made the golden calf, that promise went away, and he chose the Levites and the descendants of Aaron. But there's a new priesthood. There's a new relationship to God. There's a new covenant. All of that changed. And you can't simply say, okay, here's a three-part package, the law, the priesthood, and the sacrificial system in the temple, and two of it's gone, but the other one's still fully in effect. No, Hebrews says it's all part of a whole, and it's gone. And then Paul makes a statement that, frankly, I struggled with a little bit, and I think most Christians do, because we don't tend to perceive it the way that the Jews did. And what Paul says is something that's repeated in Scripture three times. It's how the Jews looked at something, and I want us to see why they saw it that way. And if it's in Scripture, that's how it was. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. What do you mean by that, Paul? Well, Stephen says the same thing. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him, you who have received the law that was given through angels, but have not obeyed it. You who received the law given through angels. Hebrews 2. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape so great salvation? Law given through angels. Now, this is Exodus 24. Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, those are Aaron's two oldest sons, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel, but God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. Now, when Christians read that, what we do is we put Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, with John 12, 41, where John says, Isaiah said that when he saw Jesus, and John 1:13 that says, no man has seen God at any time. Jesus has revealed him, and we say, okay, it says God, but it's talking about Jesus because Jesus is God. What the Jews did, they took that verse and then they compared it to Exodus 24, 9 to 11. God said to Moses, when Moses wanted to see God, but God said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. And apparently came to the conclusion that the people in Exodus 24, 9 to 11 saw the angel of the Lord, who is called God in several Old Testament passages. Now, I could spend a lot of time on this. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to add something. The word angel in the New Testament is angelos. That's really hard to remember. You can probably get that one. It means a messenger. It is the word used to describe the messengers of John the Baptist when they came to ask Jesus, are you the one who was to come, or should we look for another? Well, it wasn't a group of what we think of as angels who showed up to talk to John the Baptist. It was messengers from John the Baptist. That's angels' main job, but the basic meaning of the word is messenger. You go to Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and the letters are addressed, most of our translations, to the angel of the church at. Why in the world would Jesus send a letter to an angel? It doesn't make any sense. It's the messengers who came to visit John on Patmos, and those messengers were from those churches, and they were to take a message back. Was the law delivered by messengers? Yeah. The angel of the Lord, Jesus, is the messenger of the Lord. You get to Exodus 23, see, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, that's interesting. He's going to say it, but it's what I'm saying. I will be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those who oppose you. The word angel means messenger. What Paul is talking about is that God appeared in power, but no one came right into his presence except Moses. And when Moses wanted to see God, God said, the best I can do is there's this cleft in a rock. I'm going to stick you there. I'm going to cover you. And I'm going to go by and proclaim my name, but you can't look at my face because you'd die. And so the law came through messengers. It came through angels. And then there was a mediator. And the mediator was Moses. The people didn't directly encounter God. Moses went to them on their behalf. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. God came in power in such a way that they didn't even want to get close. And God said he did that so that they would be afraid and keep the law. But they weren't afraid enough to keep the law. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Okay, the point he's making is that the law came through mediators. It came through messengers, and then it came through a human being, through Moses. Paul goes on to say, "A mediator, however, implies more than one party, but God is one." And then Paul writes in Timothy, "For there's one God, one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people." We have something that is very much different than how the law was given. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And Jesus, who is God, came to us and revealed himself to us. The Jewish people understood that they saw messengers from God who gave them the law. Philip asked Jesus, "Show us the Father, and that'll be enough." Jesus says, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" And again, the point that Paul is making is that God came to us directly and interacted with humanity directly in Jesus, not at a distance through angels, not through a human mediator, Moses. What we have in the gospel is so much better. Then Paul asks a question. "Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God?" Absolutely not. "For if a law had been given that it could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But the scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe." He's already said the only thing the law can do is bring a curse. What the law did was, for anyone who is honest, shut everything up under sin. The purpose of the law is to make everyone realize that they need God's forgiveness, that we in ourselves are not good enough. The NIV translates that verse, "Everyone is locked up under sin." There are only three times that word appears in the New Testament. I'm going to show you the other two. And this is that same phrase. It means enclose, used in a physical sense. "And when they'd done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking." This is about Peter. And Jesus says, "You caught any fish?" And he says, "Nope." Jesus says, "Throw your net on the other side and you'll get a bunch." And when they did, they got so many fish that the net started to break. The fish were enclosed in the net. The other place this is used is, "For God has shut up all in disobedience that he might show mercy to all." Locked up, enclosed, and shut up all translate the same Greek word, which means to shut together, to shut in on all sides. The purpose of the law was to make it obvious to everyone that if they were going to try to approach God based on their good deeds, they would fail. You know, There are farmers here who probably have had this happen. You have a silo and you have grain in it, and an inspector comes out. He doesn't inspect every grain in that silo. He takes two or three samples and he says, yep, that's what's in there. And that's what God did with the Jewish people. He used them as a sample. He gave them the law. They broke it before they got it. And they kept breaking it and breaking it and breaking it. And God says to us, see what happens? That's what people are. We can't, in ourselves, be good enough to deserve a relationship with God. We all need forgiveness. The law was given to the Jews to convince them and everyone else by their example that all human beings have sinned against God and need forgiveness. That's why it was given. The law as a way of approaching God was temporary. It included a temporary priesthood, a temporary tabernacle, and then temple, based on a temporary covenant replaced by the new covenant that Jesus established. It lasted until John the Baptist began to announce that the Messiah had come. The law came through messengers, angels, with Moses as the mediator. The gospel was personally delivered by Jesus, who is God in human flesh, and who is now the only mediator between God and man. The law could not and cannot impart life, but it does convince people who are honest that they have sinned and that they need forgiveness. The purpose of the law today is to convince people that they need Jesus to save them from the penalty and the power of sin. Paul says the law is good if you use it lawfully. There is a purpose for it, but understanding to whom it was given, for how long it was the ruling paradigm, is really important if we're to understand what the message of the gospel really is. The message of the gospel is we've all sinned. The law is a way of showing us that. If someone says, well, I haven't sinned, well, how about honor your father and mother? Were you ever disrespectful to your parents? How about thou shalt not covet? Ever have wrong desires? How about you shall not bear false witness? Ever told a lie? You know, you look at the law, it makes it pretty clear. I probably told you this story before, but we had a teacher in Bible school who memorized the book of Romans when he was 5. This guy was incredible. He could quote about 2/3 of the New Testament. And then one day he casually said while he was teaching, well, I thought I was going to heaven because I kept all the laws, all the Ten Commandments, except the two impossible ones. You know what we said? What are the two impossible ones? And he said, you shall not lie, and you shall not steal, and I'm not answering any more questions. He had to face the fact that if he was going to approach God based on keeping God's laws, he didn't have a chance. That's what everybody has to face. That's the purpose of the law, not to make us right with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love us. And Father, we thank you that our relationship to you is not based on keeping a set of rules, but on coming to you admitting that we have sinned, and asking you to forgive us and come into our lives and give us the power to change. And Lord, if there's someone here who hasn't done that yet, may this be the time that they do. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand. we are going to sing His Mercy Is More. Why don't you start this summer, and I would just, love could remember.